ever try to do 10 things at once? Let's give you an idea of what it's like here sometimes. It's just really crazy. But we're here and we're going to carry on doing it. We'll get it done. There's a lot to talk about again this hour. We're going to take a look at 5G through the description and analysis of a very capable journalist who's been at it for a long time. And we'll play that video in just a couple of minutes. The title of it is 5G is not what they're telling us. And that's absolutely correct. It's all lies. The guy's name is Jerry Day, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. What I think I want to start out with, though, after I bring on my partner here, is we're going to talk just a little bit about shedding, which, again, is an enormously important and very much misunderstood topic, which can mean life or death for people, quite simply. Welcome back, young lady.
Why, thank you, Jeff. Good to be back.
You sound younger than springtime. So chipper, so happy. Sound like you had a salad for dinner.
Well, it could be.
Well, my psychic abilities are not completely gone.
Okay. Mm.
Well, and for any of you who have missed the original 1936 Buster Crabbe Flash Gordon serial has been colorized. I think many of you probably know that if you're interested. But it's really neat. It's so corny, but it's great to see it in color. And those were fun days in the movie theaters in the 30s. No TV. You'd go to the movies once a week, and you'd see cartoons. You'd see a serial, and there'd always be a double feature, or nearly always. So it was a whole day. Lots of popcorn, lots of fun, and then they had the Saturday matinee for kids. Some of you remember that, I'm sure. So anyway, Flash Gordon, you can find it on YouTube, is now in color. And that's the good one, the 1936 one. A lot of fun. Okay. So here's a little bit of an overview of shedding. Shedding is apparently worse than we have been saying much of the time. We've been saying it's bad news, but the indications are now that it may be even worse than that and was obviously structured as part of this biological weapon that is designed to do only one thing. Shedding is not to be joked with. It is to be taken seriously. And there are a lot of people out there who also talk about smells and how they're smelling the vaxxed. Well, I think that may well be true, and why many aren't, perhaps the majority, are not smelling anything, is another area we can get into and talk about maybe a little bit later. But the whole idea of shedding is not in the mainstream media. It's not being talked about on TV, so most people don't know anything about it. I talked to somebody the other day, a real estate person, and I said, shedding. He said, what? That's not a stupid person. He's a competent professional. So a lot of people still don't know, or it's some little off-the-wall, flippant remark that they think people are just throwing around for fun. No, not that at all. But shedding must be taken extremely seriously if you are expecting to somehow survive what's coming. And I'm not overstating it. That's the truth.
That is, yeah, it is the truth. I just heard today somebody else, unvaxxed, developed myocarditis after, I don't know, having lunch or dinner or something with a colleague that was vaxxed or freshly vaxxed, perhaps. But he himself came down with myocarditis.
All right. This and yet another example, and Eric and I talk about this a lot, and we're seeing more and more indications that shedding is more effective or has become more virulent, or people's thresholds have now been met and surpassed, and they're no longer able to divest themselves of being spiked or dosed with mRNA or maybe even the plasmids. their immune system is now beginning to show the same morphology, if not profile, of the vaxxed. Their blood is showing similarly alongside comparison with the vaxxed. So the unvaxxed are now beginning to present as people who have been severely damaged and impacted by the vaxxed, maybe even more maliciously than we even thought. And we do spend a lot of time on this.
Well, it's a risk, and it's easy to overlook it if you're not having symptoms.
Right.
You know, if we hadn't been paying attention to this, we probably would have missed it. But I still remember one of the first posts I read in social media was from a caregiver, some nurse's aide that was going to people's houses, elderly people's houses who had been freshly vaxxed, and she made a post and said, I thought these things were not supposed to shed. But I will tell you right now that the last couple of clients that I've had to work with, I've come home afterwards and I'm smashed. I can't,
that goes way
I can't get out of bed
this.
The next day.
Yep.
And then it wasn't long after that we started to hear the stories about the women having these severe menstrual issues and passing these deciduous casts. And that raised alarm bells. And then it was very clear that yes, something is shedding. Something is poisoning the blood of these people. And by all accounts, it fits the description of what we know that the spike protein is capable of. And that's likely what's being shed, among other things, probably.
Right.
And then add on top of that the VOCs and these other gases that they are producing due to their deranged metabolisms.
And we also
They're toxic.
Have reports, very much so. We also have reports of people swearing that they cannot leave the house anymore because they smell these smells and it alarms them. They're worried. They know that these people, in their minds, are vaxxed. Some people say if their windows open and somebody walks by the house on the sidewalk, they can smell it. Are these people crazy? No, I don't think so at all. For some reason, their sense of smell has become hyperactivated. It's like a dog. A dog can smell 50,000 times better than we can. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So these people are picking up something that is being exuded from the vaxxed. And I think that needs to be considered very seriously. If it's there and I have smelled it a couple times, but we are not generally and routinely smelling it, but it is there, would we be better off smelling it? And the answer is obviously yes. This is a canary in the coal mine kind of thing. So we're being warned, but we don't have the sense of smell, generally speaking, to do this. Some do. So that's another angle that's very interesting. This whole thing is so diabolical. It just defies description. It is crazy, crazy.
It does. And the insidious thing, as I was saying, is that I people may have a false sense of security and thinking that they're not being affected. Yeah. And I would argue that get a blood test done. I would say a live blood analysis, and you can see for yourself whether or not you're being affected. Because many people have thought that. I've seen many reports now of people thinking they're okay, and they're not even really spending a lot of time around the vaxxed. And then they get a live blood analysis done, and it shows this distinctive clumping, stacking of the red blood cells, and what appear to be these endothelial casts, these ribbon-like structures, which, again, would be an indication of severe inflammation to the point where the endothelium is being destroyed and sloughing.
They're exactly
you know,
right.
You cannot feel inflammation. This systemic inflammation that is present in the endothelial cells and throughout your vasculature, that quite often is silent. And prior to all this, if you wanted to be evaluated for cardiovascular disease, you would go to the doctor and have a blood draw and look for things like, or check your C-reactive protein level. And people would be surprised if it was elevated, indicating that they had some systemic inflammation going on. And, nothing necessarily hurts.
No.
But that's a marker that your endothelium is being damaged. And, mm-hmm. you know, once that goes, your circulation is compromised. You get calcification of the arteries, the stiffness of the arteries, and high blood pressure and everything that goes with it.
Well, you've said that from the beginning. This is probably, number one, an attack to destroy the human blood and entire
yeah.
circulatory system, including the heart, of course. So that was early on. We've been at this a long time, and many of you have been listening for a long time, and you understand. Now, this issue of shedding, it's difficult. There are things and aspects of it that are seemingly way out there, sci-fi. How is it that someone in a closed house can say, with all sincerity, I can tell when somebody walks by my house if they've been vaxxed? What's that about? And there are, I have a possible explanation that may somehow remotely answer that question. And it goes back to the Soviet Kaznachev experiments. And they were two brothers. And they found that they could take a tissue sample from somebody and break it in half and put one piece in a Petri dish on the left side of a crystal glass wall, as it were, a plate, and put the other half of the healthy tissue sample in another Petri dish on the other side of that crystal plate. Let's say it's 8 inches by 8 inches and it's half inch thick or whatever. It's a crystal. So you got a Petri dish on the left, Petri dish on the other side. Both have healthy human tissue in them. One of those human tissue samples is then given a deadly bacteria. Let's just say bacteria. It could be virus. I don't know. Bacteria. And that human tissue begins to die from that bacterial infection it has been given. Well, on the other side of this crystal glass, 6-7 inches away, is the other Petri dish with the healthy other human tissue in it that has not been given this terminal fatal bacteria. Well, guess what happens? As the healthy tissue that's been infected dies, it's giving off what the Kaznachev people called death photons, information at the photonic level that caused in the other tissue that was not given the bacteria to become infected and die the same way. I hope you followed that.
Yeah.
It's energetic transfer of a disease state to a healthy piece of tissue from a dying piece of tissue through a crystal plate. It's like glass. So if that's true, and it is true, the Kaznachev experiments were a landmark, couldn't it be that vax people are in the early stages of dying, of coming down with severe issues of literally dozens of different kinds, and maybe they are dying to the extent that their cells are throwing off signatures of what they're suffering from? At least some kind of information that people can actually pick up. It's
mm-hmm.
like an aura. Think of it as an aura, although it's much more than that. It goes further. That's a possibility. Remember, all hard things are actually just space. They can be collapsed, and you'd have a dense star. But I just think that there's more to this than we know. We do know, and we believe, that shedding was absolutely put into this death weapon, this biological death injection. How diverse are the ways that people can be shed upon? That's the question we don't have an answer for. But there seem to be a lot of things at work here. And all we can suggest is try to self-isolate as much as you can. If you work around the vaxxed, you got a problem. And we have no easy answer for that. We don't want people to sit in an office. That's an awful lot of people. If you're going to work and you're sitting around people who have been vaxxed, You can't wear a mask 8 or 9 hours a day. It's not good for you. We know that. If you go into a grocery store, you certainly put one on for 15 or 20 minutes, you're fine. You take it off when you go outside. It will help you. Even if it's just a little bit, it's worth bending that advantage your way. So shedding is a problem. And we've had more cases of people, Erica just read one Monday, people getting shed upon and dying. So again, is it an agglutination? Is it a buildup of whatever's being shed in your body? Is it spike? Is it energetic spike? It could be all of the above. But people are picking things up and making themselves very sick. Go ahead.
I mean, we have a whole new realm of disease now that is superimposed on whatever people were dealing with prior to all of this. Whatever issues they had, they now have this on top of it. And that makes for a very complicated medical picture.
Terrible.
To try to weed out what's doing what, you know, why certain people have certain sensitivities to this, others don't, or they don't seem to.
How are you going to find a doctor that's going to want to even try to understand
allopathic doctor that can address this. I have heard some success, and this makes sense. Some of the, I would say, energetic practitioners, those that are working with frequencies, seem to be better skilled at getting people back to a point of homeostasis. You're not going to get rid of this thing, whatever it is, but you can at least get the body to adapt to it homeostatically to some degree, maybe. And many of these practitioners, there's you know, kooks and flakes out there, like in any profession. You've got to kind of weed them out. The best way to find one is through referrals. Ask around. You know, find somebody with a good reputation that you can trust. But many of these practitioners are also skilled in natural healing methods, nutrition, and those types of things that support the body. If you find somebody that's recommending all kinds of chemical concoctions, run the other way, because this is not something that's going to be solved by adding more chemicals to the body. And I'm talking about things like EDTA, for example. The body doesn't need more chemicals.
No. Good advice. I think if any of you are real serious about wanting to find out what your status is, you're going to have a live blood test. It's very simple. You just give a little donation and they put it under a microscope and look at live blood analysis results and see. You'll see the pictures. You'll see your own blood. And you'll know if you've been spiked. If you've been shed upon,
I mean, if you see the red blood cells having these jagged edges, that's a sign of oxidative stress. They've probably lost their iron. And when they lose their iron, that iron will feed the dormant blood microbiome. And so it wouldn't be uncommon to see life forms in there moving around, whether it's parasites, bacteria, or fungi. And quite often, you know, the white blood cells aren't looking the way they should or present in the number that they should be.
No, diminished. Okay, I think that's enough. Just sharing some of our thoughts about shedding. It's very serious. You need to be careful about this. It's slower. It's on a slower clock. It takes time. But we're finding people who are beginning to present as having been vaxxed, and they haven't.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Now,
we can... Go ahead. No, you go.
I was going to jump into the Stacky Botrys. And the
Stacky Botrys. Oh, okay,
well,
sure.
If you're ready. Anything else you want to say about that, the shedding?
Well, I was just going to bring up, you know, these people that are can sense the vaxxed now at a fair distance, getting back to this, they may have some kind of extrasensory perception. Now, we have to remember that all nanoparticles have wave-particle duality, so they behave both like a solid material and also a waveform. Mm-hmm. So there are invariably, I guess, sensory receptors in our bodies, some of which we're only just discovering now, that may be picking up, this alien gene or alien protein, and then reacting to it rather violently. It knows that it's not something it wants. But it makes me think of these people who are, there's a name for this, maybe you remember, that can pick up an object and tell you where that object has been.
Psychometry.
Yes. So, I mean, that's a legitimate skill.
Correct.
So what's different about those people?
The object that is picked up by someone who's good at psychometry gives off energy, and they're able to read it intuitively somehow just by holding it in their hand with their eyes closed, and they can give a general description of what it is, where it came from, how old it is. Figure that out.
Yeah, and who handled it? Where had it been?
Precisely. And, yeah.
I mean, that's really amazing. So I believe some of these people may be the same ones that are able to pick up from a distance who has been vaxxed, and then their bodies are reacting in such a way that they know it's danger. They're repulsed by it and threatened by it. I think the body's reacting in a way, fight or flight type of reaction.
And if you're new to the concept of psychometry, this is an important thing to think about, too. The formal definition of it is psychometry, also known as token object reading or psychoscopy, is a form of extrasensory perception characterized by the claimed ability to make relevant associations from an object of unknown history by making physical contact with that object. Pick it up, and some people have it's like remote viewing. You have these gifts, but until you learn how to develop them, they'll lie dormant and fallow. You'll never even realize you'll get a hunch once in a while, it'll be right, and okay. But that is remote viewing, and you can develop that. So psychometry is fascinating, and maybe there are some people out there who have more access to that tool in their personal biophysiological kit, and they're using it without even knowing it. So it's all very fascinating. We know so little about what we really are all about. We really don't know much. And so I do believe these people are able to, in some cases, read those who are relatively near in terms of their vax status. Think of it as real-time remote viewing. They can do it. We have skills. Those things are drummed out of children's minds first and foremost by society. A kid says, hey, Mommy, I can see Grandma over there. Grandma died. And Mommy says, shut up. Stop it. So, in some cases, the kids may be seeing Grandma. We don't know. Stuff like that. But that whole world is taken away from children real quick, and they're told not to talk about it. If they have a gift, don't talk about that. Shut up. Anyway, okay. So, all right, we've burned through half the program already. Okay. Well, the issue of...
Do we want to maybe just cover ahead. That one live blood analysis?
Do it. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This past week, I asked a friend who incorporates live blood analysis in her medical practice. I hadn't talked to her in a while, and in fact, I think the last time I had a discussion with her was early on when the vax were rolled out, and what she was seeing was, well, we all know, pretty horrific. So I asked her again the other day what she was seeing. Her reply was, what has been most common in the live blood analysis is a very limited immune reserve, a very low bion count, and red blood cell stacking indicative of acidic conditions. I have not seen the crazy blue chemicals that I had been seeing in the beginning, but their electrodermal screening reveals most are in sympathetic overdrive with very little parasympathetic reserve left. So really, any latent viruses or an allergic constitution is just exacerbated. It's been unrelenting stress for so long, their adrenals are tanked, and once that happens, any constitutional weaknesses are ripe for blooming. And I said, well, thank you for that. So how is the blood of the unvaxxed looking these days? Is it anywhere close to what it used to look like 2+ years ago before the rollout of these poisons? And she wrote back, what I described above is actually the unvaxxed. The patients who are vaxxed are much worse. Blood, sludge, and heavy clumping.
See? That should really alert all of you that what we're talking about here is deadly serious business. That was a description of the unvaxxed blood. Mm. And someone, who was it that said today, you mentioned this earlier, there are no more pure bloods?
Oh, right. Yeah, because...
In other words, shedding
and this
is
a doctor
damn effective.
Who said that.
Yeah, shedding is so
Dr.
effective.
Dr. Paul Cottrell.
Cottrell. Yeah.
Yeah. In a recent interview, he just, you know, there are no more pure bloods. Don't kid yourself. Between the virus that is now running loose, you know, that was created in a lab and has now gained a foothold because of this injection program and because of the therapies that they're using, these antivirals, and they're not sufficient to curtail this thing. Mm-hmm. So that thing's running wild, and then we have whatever is being shed by the vaxxed. So, you know, unless you're living in total isolation, you've been exposed. We've all been exposed. And to think otherwise, you're kidding yourself. And this is one reason why there is, just across the entire population now, immune suppression to varying degrees. Everything about this virus causes an inordinate amount of stress and inflammation, immune suppression. I mean, even if you haven't had the shots, if you've had the virus, your immune system is suppressed for a few months afterwards. Very low white blood cell counts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you don't get re-exposed or pick up something else, you know, while right. your body's trying to rebound from that.
Now, we're not saying give up, not at all. We're just trying to give you information so you can make better decisions. Because the decisions you make today may well manifest themselves tomorrow or in 6 months in a very negative way in your body. You just have to do everything you can to minimize your contact with the vaxxed. That's just for openers. Then we could talk about diet, what you put in your mind, the diet you feed your brain, watching TV, the garbage you may watch or may not watch. You're poisoning yourself in many ways, and it all adds up to be very damaging. So,
well, I think one of the most insidious things is the EMFs that we're being exposed to, just saturated with, and they're so easy to overlook because you don't know they're there.
150 years ago, let's say 125 years ago, turn of the last century, there were no EMFs to speak of on this planet. Some solar radiation, I guess thunder and lightning will throw off a little bit. There was nothing. Nothing. So here we are in bodies that have evolved over, a million years, 2 million years, I don't know. And all of a sudden, in the early 50s, thereabout, we began to be exposed to all manner of electromagnetic frequency pollution. And now it's so over the top, it's crazy. The human body cannot adapt that quickly. And it's not adapting. It's struggling. And we found out, we presented this a couple of programs ago, that in 1 square inch, the amount of EMF pollution in that 1 square inch of space is approximately, well, it's millions of times greater than it used to be. Millions. We'll just leave it at that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that EMF is that mold one of the active pathogens in mold is said to be 600 times more virulent and active than it was in the old days.
Well, no, it
if
was
I didn't
that.
Get that right, straighten it out. Because I
okay, there, so this experiment that this Swiss researcher did, this was about 10 years ago.
It's
he
an older
he
one.
Took two Petri dishes and grew a little bit of mold in each one and then covered one with an EMF shielding cloth, silver cloth of some sort, and then left the other one out to be exposed to whatever ambient EMFs were in the environment. Now, 10 years ago, there wasn't nearly as much as there is right now. And what he discovered was the unshielded mold produced 600 times more toxins, mycotoxins,
right,
than the shielded mold. And these are spewed into the air, into the environment for people to breathe. And some of these are really, really toxic.
And
one of
no...
them, the trichophicines, they've looked at weaponizing it. If they probably have weaponized it already, it's that toxic.
Yeah. And most mold in the environment is not shielded, so give that up right now. So EMF is making mold more toxic. What is it doing to countless other pathogens?
Well, a lot of these simple organisms have a heyday. I mean, they can adapt much more quickly than we can. And they do. They say that candida is you know, if you're in an environment with a lot of EMF, it wouldn't be uncommon for you to have a candida problem. I know that herpes will reactivate at certain frequencies. You know, I we're all a lot sicker because of this. There's no question.
Right, right.
And
now we
everything
have...
about being around, you know, the bioweapon is made worse in the presence of these things. And, you know, to say nothing of 5G, and, you know, 4G is bad enough, but, you know, you ramp it up to 5G. Now you're cooking, basically.
Yeah, you are literally cooking. We'll talk more about that. Let's listen to some of this video about 5G, and I think you'll find it to be very, very well stated, very helpful, and not encouraging.
An important 5G update for you. Any expert on radio frequencies will tell you that 5G frequencies are not healthy or safe for human exposure. Well, it turns out that nothing about 5G is good for us. This video will be a summary of a short but very important article in Activist Post. The link to that article is below the video on YouTube. Remember how they told us that the purpose of 5G is more data, faster data for you and your downloads? That is not the purpose of 5G and never was. The purpose of 5G is instant, real-time surveillance data for the military and central authorities. Only with 5G can they harvest your data with almost no delay whatsoever, and that up-to-the-minute eyes on everything is what it is all about. With mass surveillance, they can see what has happened. With 5G in mass surveillance, they can see what is happening right now. The military, not the telecoms, is controlling the rollout of 5G. 5G does little for telecom companies other than to give them a meme to hype their services. The military is who is excited about 5G as a domestic surveillance platform. The key word here is domestic.
And don't forget who owns the so-called COVID vaccines. The military. What a shocker. They're owned by the Pentagon and the Department of Defense. Same crew.
Our government is spying on us, not on terrorists, on foreigners or criminals, but all of us. And that is not lawful, but no one seems to be interested in prosecuting criminals if they work for the government. Why do they want to spy on every American? Government and military are entering a very dangerous phase of institutional paranoia, thinking that they have enemies behind every bush. They no longer see themselves as our government protectors. Government and military see themselves as needing to protect themselves from us, the American people. We have been warned of this by Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, and our independent online journalists. Government has developed the notion that it is more important than the public, as suggested by one of their favorite expressions, continuity of government, which represents the idea that government must continue no matter who else must die. We are all suspects to this new paranoid industrial complex. They see you and I, all of us, not as their constituency from whom they derive their authority, but as maverick provocateurs, potential terrorists, criminals, insurgents, and adversaries to be spied on, arrested, killed, or bullied, but in any case, controlled. It is institutional paranoia that causes government and military now to operate in secret. And people who act in secret can commit crimes. And they are committing crimes, and they know it. And therefore, they are paranoid that people will catch on, and they must now try to keep everything they do secret. And they suspect everyone all the time of potentially finding out what they are doing. As any police officer will tell you, people who hide things are usually guilty. So what kind of crimes are they committing? You name it: drug trafficking, human trafficking, financial crimes, money laundering, bribery, embezzlement. There's no crime that you cannot commit when you are permitted to operate in secret and no one will prosecute you. So they are paranoid for good reason. They're criminals, and they need to spy on you and me and everyone else, because anyone could be the next person to witness one of their crimes or become dissatisfied with government in some way. If government prosecutes a criminal, it's not to reduce crime, it's to reduce the competition. So that domestic mass surveillance means your cell phone, your TV, your security cameras, your computer, your credit cards, your vehicle's new tracking systems, your medical records, your smart meter records, your thermostat, all of it. More personal data than you can even imagine, all watched by algorithms, AI algorithms, and fed to centers where they decide whose house or office they need to raid, who they need to question, arrest, or watch even more closely, whose property they need to confiscate, whose children they need to turn over to CPS. It's all about power, control, enforcement, and money. So this explains why 5G is so important to the military and government. The real-time, full-spectrum mass surveillance network is not possible without 5G. It's not like somebody just discovered that 5G is good for mass surveillance. That is what it was for all along, and that is all it is good for. When have you heard anyone say, boy, I'm sure I'm glad I got this 5G phone. Boy, this new 5G service is really great. If you have 5G service and a 5G phone, you probably don't have anything that you didn't have on 4G, because 5G is not for you. It is to let other people watch you and nothing else. Calling 5G a great new consumer service was just a way to get you to pay for it. If you think that your mobile service carrier is somehow separate from the military-industrial complex, you're a little behind the times. Verizon is collaborating with Lockheed Martin. AT&T is collaborating with Northrop Grumman. T-Mobile is collaborating with General Dynamics Information Technology. Those are all military contractors who feed information to government that would be illegal for government to collect itself. And all those high-level government contractors will be competing to provide the best and most data to their funders and clients, the U.S. military, various government security agencies, law enforcement, and any other government agency that wants real-time surveillance data and AI services to keep tabs on the American public, to constantly assure themselves that you are pro-government, obedient, and compliant, so that if you are not, they can come and deal with you. By the way, in the past, they have defined the word terrorist as a protester, a Christian, a white person, a vegetarian, a constitutionalist, a conservative, a supporter of Antifa or Black Lives Matter, people who access alternative news sources, and people who don't take their vaccination and wear a mask. So from the government's viewpoint, a terrorist is anyone who does not comply with whatever the government tells us to think or do. So just as government seems to be crumbling in its own paranoid meltdown, this new technology of 5G is just appearing to enable the most invasive public surveillance and control that has ever existed. High-resolution behavioral control is coming to your neighborhood, your digital devices, even your currency very soon. It has already been implemented in China. We can try and disconnect, stop using digital and electronic devices, but it's probably now impossible to disconnect from all surveillance systems and lead anything resembling a normal American life. Very soon, everyone will feel the need to be more private, and we will realize we waited too long to tell our government to stop doing what it is doing, to stop funding the corporations that help them do it, stop spying on people, and go back to the purposes that government was created for, which is to protect the rights of private citizens. It is inexcusable for our government, that thing that exists for no reason than to protect and serve us, to administer to us as their enemy, to paint us as criminals, terrorists, and suspects. This is a new and growing problem where government and the people are no longer unified, but are dividing into opposite sides, and government is inventing all kinds of new authorities and purposes for itself. Government may only do what we ask it to do, no more, no less. They work for us. We pay for government. Government and military are not entitled to contrive their own missions. That is our job. In a fascist tyranny, government tells the people what to do. In a democratic constitutional republic, the people tell government what to do. If government is doing anything besides asking us what we want and doing what we want, that is not legitimate government. If it was legitimate, it would not need to operate in secret, it would not need 5G or domestic mass surveillance, and it would not need to treat the American people as its enemy.
Okay, no arguments for that. So if you want to be anti-5G, don't forget that we no longer have a government in this country. We have controllers. We have those who are tracking our every move, and we have been overthrown. That doesn't mean you give up. It means you wake up and understand your enemy. You don't know your enemy, you haven't got a chance. And the enemy is in Washington, D.C., and in your state capitol, and very likely even in your own school board and city council. It's everywhere now. All planned, all impregnated into what used to be a robust and healthy culture and society. We're in trouble. So, 5G? No. As some of you know, I finally got a smartphone several years ago, and I got an Apple 11, the last one that did not have a 5G antenna in it. I wanted nothing to do with that, so I'll hang on to this one, I guess. I don't use it much, but just be careful out there, friends. If you don't watch out for yourselves, you don't have a chance. And it's so hard now. One more thing. It's so hard now because the entire internet, which is where most people get their information, is thoroughly penetrated and corrupted with egomaniacs, shills, frauds, created opposition platforms, and hucksters. It's a mess out there. And I just feel awfully sorry for people who are trying to walk into that without any kind of guidance and trying to make sense of it. It's virtually impossible.
Yeah, there's a lot of stumbling and fumbling for the newbies.
Yeah, well, the newbies, Gen Z, they're not going anywhere in a big hurry.
No.
Most of them.
Mm-mm.
There are some exceptions. Okay, anything we missed there? That was a nice piece that Jerry Day did. I want to thank him for that.
Yeah, I summed it up nicely in what, 8 minutes?
Yeah, 8 minutes. That's it. Okay, let's jump over and take a look at some of our human archives and see what's going on there. There's a couple you wanted to make sure we got in, so I'll leave that up to you.
Well, this was rather shocking. How about post-vax protocols? See that one?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Two of them. Two entries.
Not a long one.
Okay.
This is a bit alarming. Is that this is in the case of a vaxxed person that I assume was probably forced to take the vax, and was trying, you know, being very diligent about taking all the protocols to make sure that they didn't have any consequences from the vax, but they didn't seem to work. So this person says, my holistic doctor, who took two vax shots, died last Saturday and was brought back to life. She is in excellent shape and was taking all the blood clotting nutrients to make sure she didn't have a heart problem from the vax. They put a stent in her widowmaker and sent her home with a shock vest to wear 24 hours a day. She is so lucky the coach on her kid's sports team had a defibrillator to bring her back to life. Close call. And someone asked, was she taking ivermectin? Yes, she was on ivermectin and lumbrokinase, which is similar to natokinase, and everything else. It doesn't stop the vax damage. She needs to be on doxycycline and ivermectin to stop the mRNA from going into cells. Truth Social Florida Shark Man follow. I've already stopped others with issues. It's real.
I don't know if we can really take that to the bank, that doxy and ivermectin are going to stop the mRNA from entering the human cell. I'd like to see the research on that. That sounds like pie in the sky to me. I'm just being honest. I have no reason to think that that's a protocol that should be really banked on for that.
That's the first I've heard of it. But I don't know. You know, people are trying all kinds of things. And
yeah, you name it, and they're on it. You got it. Okay. Smells? What else do we want to do here?
How about this airline travel? This is a
Where
good
is
post. First one, air travel.
Got it. Okay. All right. I'll do the first one here. Hello. Has anyone here been on an airplane recently full of vax people, either short or long-haul flights? We do feel shedding from time to time near people, my wife more than me usually, feeling dizzy or spacing out, etc., especially now with loads of tourists here in Croatia. It happened again last week. I was wondering if anyone has felt weird while on an airplane. We would like to have a trip, take a trip, but are really put off if you feel bad in the air. What the heck do you do? I can't ask, hey, pilot, can you stop the plane, please? Got to get out. That goes also when you wait before boarding, etc. So if you're sitting around in an airport, just get the image. You're sitting there, and it's Spike Central, and you're sitting there waiting hour after hour sometimes. It's been 3.5 years, and we haven't flown in that time. This is, again, from somebody in Croatia. Let alone if the pilot is vaxxed, which is another big risk. And boy, is that the truth. Go ahead.
All right. Someone answers the question. I needed to fly with my daughter during the holidays to my home country this winter. It was a 7-hour flight. I was so scared, symptoms, etc. The airport, there was heavy shedding from both flights. But on the airplane, I didn't feel any shedding symptoms. They have such good air filters on the airplane and no phones on. I'm surprised how good I felt on the airplane. I am normally heavily affected by shedding. And I have heard the same from another unjabbed friends. No symptoms on the plane. Spend a bit more money to take a better airplane so you will be fine. More problematic is the airports. We flew from Tenerife to Finland and back with Finnair. My flight cost more because I knew what better airplane was with better air conditioning. Only thing is, our flight back home, it was the smell, but it didn't make me sick like it normally does. But I am surprised how easy the flight was. Don't go early to the airport, and don't fly small airplanes, and you will be fine.
Go Go ahead and finish it up.
And then original poster asks, well, thank you for the feedback. Do you mean fly business class? In small airplanes, you mean like avoid Ryanair, et cetera? Similar Airbus 320s? And, well, that was left open-ended. No answer.
Here's the deal with airplanes. It may be the airplane itself, because I'm told that each plane does exchange the air in the cabin every 2 or 3 minutes. Just a general rule of thumb. They, in other words, they flush the old air and bring in new air. They also have filters. The better airplanes, the better airlines do. So that's the best news we've heard about being in an airplane, I think, ever. I don't know how much credence we can place in it, but it's a nice, encouraging story. The problem, of course, is going into the airline's terminals, buying tickets, going through TSA or any other kind of security checkpoint. You are, if you have to go into that backscatter X-ray machine, it's getting to the plane that could be catastrophic.
Right.
And if you end up sitting in the airport for 2 or 3 hours, you're in trouble.
Right.
You're in trouble. So at any rate, maybe when you're on the plane, if it's a good plane, good quality aircraft, and they do recycle the air every 2 or 3 minutes, you're not safe, but you're safer. So that's good news. That's good news.
Yeah, as long as the pilot stays alive.
Doesn't die. That's right.
Right.
Staying alive. Jeez. Well, we had that crash in Virginia 3 days ago. The plane was supposed to land, and it didn't land in New York, Long Island, I guess, and turned around and went back south. And they scrambled two F-16s, and they couldn't get anything out of the plane. The pilot would not respond, and that the plane either depressurized or the pilot had a heart issue and was lost. There was only one on the plane, 3 passengers, and the plane went down. So we don't know. All right. I think, did we cover everything?
I think so.
Good job. All right. Very
good. Yeah, good job.
All right. Lots for all of you out there to think about. Do play these programs a second time. Share them with as many people as care out there, and try to help them as well. Glad to have you on board. Thank you for being here, and I'll talk to you soon, young lady.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with Hour 3 in just a couple minutes, so hold on.